I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts as we continue our study through the book of Acts. It was an honor to get to stand right here just a few hours ago and preach the funeral for Brother Kenneth Pyle. And I just keep thinking I wish I could have had the opportunity to know him longer. Somebody asked how the funeral went. That's always kind of an odd question. How was the funeral? And you say, it was a funeral. Do you think it went? But what an awesome thing to be able to say it was a good funeral, if that's possible. The family asked me, they said, we know you're going to anyway, but there's one thing. There's going to be a lot of lost people here for the funeral, and we want to make sure you preach the gospel. And I shared with everybody, in case you weren't here, but I shared with them from Romans chapter 8, but in particular, I hope they got verse 28. All things work together for good to them who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. And even in the midst of something like this, just imagine if somebody in his family or one of his old buddies or something was to be saved because he passed away. And I'd like to say, I would gladly die today if it meant someone would come to Christ by my death. And just an awesome thought. In Acts chapter 18, we studied a little bit the way through last time. And the Apostle Paul in Corinth. And tonight we're going to learn that discipleship makes a difference. And so just kind of by way of introduction, we're going to read a few verses here, and then we'll stand for the text we really want to focus on tonight. So please find Acts 18:18, and just kind of a segue here. There's obviously a lot of good stuff, but I really want to focus in towards the last part of the chapter. In verse 18, the Word of God says, "And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into a synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he landed in Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples." And at the end of verse 23, the Bible simply says that he went to these places, these areas, these regions, in order, strengthening the disciples. And so here's the picture. Paul kind of went as far as he was going to on this journey to Corinth, and then he began to go back through the places he had been and strengthen the brethren. He wanted to go and encourage the disciples in the Lord, because it's not enough for somebody to pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior and then just go on with their life. We need to be strengthened in the faith. Amen. We need that. Amen. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is what we're going to call discipleship. And that simply is the idea of taking someone who has already trusted Christ and strengthening them in their faith, showing them the way of the Lord more perfectly, helping them to grow in their walk with Christ, and equipping them to be able to teach others the things that they've learned. You guys with me? Now, here's the thing. In the church tonight, there are some of you who teach. You teach some of the little kids Sunday school. Some of you teach the adults. Some of you teach, literally, that's your profession. But the reality is all of us ought to be following Christ to the point that we can help other people follow Christ. Amen. To the point that those people can help someone else follow Christ. To the point that those people, you guys with me? You see, the reality is if I'm not making disciples who are making disciples, then I'm not a real disciple. I'm going to let that sink in for a second because that's kind of confusing to me. If I'm not making disciples who are making disciples, then I'm not really a disciple. And that's a high calling. That's a really high standard, isn't it? And for most of us in the room tonight, if we're honest, we're just kind of think it's a big deal just to give somebody a gospel tract. And that's kind of where we're at, man. Give somebody a gospel tract, ask them to read. I mean, that's a big step. And others of you, you've been handing out gospel tracts all the time. You hand it out all the time, doesn't bother you. But to sit down with somebody and one-on-one have a conversation about their soul and about Jesus, that's a big deal. And other of you are kind of past that, and that's not a big deal. I can share the gospel. I'm comfortable with that. But to really mentor somebody and bring them to a place and challenge them to live for Christ in such a way they're bringing others to Christ, that's crazy. And so what I'm trying to say tonight is that's where all of us should strive to be. You're not convinced. It's okay. I got the Bible to back me up. Don't take my word for it. And so we see the Apostle Paul, and I love how this kind of leads into it. We see Paul, he goes from here to there, to here to there, to here to there, and he's doing these things, and they want him to stay. He's trying to go somewhere else. But all the while, he's strengthening the disciples. Whether he's at Corinth or at Athens or at Ephesus or in Syria, wherever he goes, he's strengthening the disciples. His goal is to help them serve Christ better so they can help other people serve Christ better. And we're going to see, I think, a great picture, a very detailed account of somebody being discipled and doing great things for the Lord. So if you're able, let's stand together. And we want to focus in tonight, beginning at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Pray you'd open our understanding tonight. There's so many great truths that we need to see and learn from. But I pray especially tonight, you'd help us to see the truth of the great need in our church for discipleship, that we need to be real disciples following Christ with all our heart, and that we need to be used by you to seek out others, to lead them to Christ and salvation, to lead them to baptism and church membership, to help them to grow in your grace and knowledge so that they too could be used to reach others who would be saved and baptized and serving you and reaching others. Lord, give us a burden, a passion. Lord, give us a fervent spirit like Apollos had. Help us to learn and to grow, and help us to help others to learn and to grow. Please bless your word tonight. Convict our hearts, and may we leave here tonight with a renewed purpose that disciples would be multiplied here at Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So you'll remember, as we read just a moment ago, as Paul left Corinth, he took Priscilla and Aquila with him. And when he came to Ephesus, the Bible says, and left them there. And so Aquila and Priscilla stayed in Ephesus, and the others in Ephesus tried to get Paul to stay, but he wouldn't. He said, Lord willing, I'll come back some other time. If the Lord wills, I want to come back, and if God will allow it, I'll come back someday, but I've got to get to Jerusalem. But he left Priscilla and Aquila there, and then along comes this guy to Ephesus named Apollos. And most of you have at least read about Apollos, but Apollos is one of my favorite people we hear about in the book of Acts. Apollos is a man who has got a passion for the things of God. Now, he's born in Alexandria, which is a chief city of Egypt. This is an Egyptian city. Alexandria was famous for its libraries. It's famous for the knowledge that was there and the philosophy and the teaching and all of those things. Alexandria was a major city in Egypt, a very wealthy city, a very powerful city, a very influential city. And this is where he comes from. And the Bible simply says about him, he was eloquent. Now, eloquent sounds like a really fancy word, doesn't it? I mean, that word should just be written in calligraphy. Just fancy. But it simply means that he was an orator. It means that he was well-spoken. It means that he could talk good. And so that's what we find. He was a man who could speak. But then we find that he was mighty in the scriptures. Now, I don't know about you, but this is incredible to me. To be known as being one who is mighty in the scriptures. Now listen, I don't have any delusions that I'm going to be a bodybuilder someday. I don't have any delusions that I'm going to get into the Olympics for anything. I mean anything. And they've got just about anything you could dream of in the Olympics these days. I don't have any delusions that I'm ever going to be really strong or really great at anything. But did you know that everyone in this room tonight has the opportunity to be mighty in the scriptures? That word mighty is dunatos. It's a dynamic power. This is the type of power or might that we get our word dynamite from. This is a powerful thing, a strong thing, a mighty thing. But he was mighty in the scriptures. And how do you get mighty in the scriptures? Well, the way you build muscle, the way you get strong is to exercise, right? I read about it. I know that's true. You get strong by exercising. If you want to be strong in the scriptures, then you exercise yourself in the scriptures. You guys, we have these awesome daily in the word, this Bible reading thing, and I hope everybody got one and is using it and reading your Bible every single day. And if you haven't got one, you didn't even know they existed, they're still on the table out front. Take one. It's not too late to get started. Today is the best day to start reading your Bible every day. Man, let me try that one more time, okay? Today is the best day to start reading your Bible every day. Amen. Okay, still pitiful, just sad. Listen, I'm tired too, but this is important. Okay. He was mighty in scriptures. The Bible says he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. Not only was he mighty in scriptures, but he had learned, he had been taught, he had been discipled to a point in the way of the Lord. So this word instructed is, have any of you ever heard the word catechism? Anybody heard that word? We hear catechism, we think Catholics. They have catechism. Some of the high church, like the Lutherans and different ones like that, they have catechism. Well, that's the reason they call it catechism is because it comes from this Greek word, katecheo. It just means to be instructed. So it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's a good thing to be instructed in the way of the Lord. It's a good thing to be taught. It literally means, the Greek word literally is a compound word that means to sound down. In other words, you take these truths and you put them down into your ears. That's what Jesus told the people, isn't it? Let these things, these sayings sink down into your ears. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to just hear it, let it be out there. No, we want to hear the word of God. We want to let it sink down into our ears. We want to learn it, understand it, be instructed in the way of the Lord. The word way is, we would call that a road. We would say that the road, the path of God, the path of the Lord. And he was instructed in that. But only knowing the baptism of John. We'll talk about that more in a moment. I want you to notice the spirit that this man Apollos had. The Bible says that he had a fervent spirit. Verse 25, and being fervent in the spirit. I can't say it right, but it's an awesome word. If I said to you, if I had a pot of water, this is a stove, pot of water sitting here. You guys with me? I can't say that either. Man, it's been a long day. A pot of water. Pot of water. It's here on the stove. Everybody see it? It's full of water. I turn the gas stove on. The fire's burning. If you stand and watch it, what never happens? It will not boil. If you forget it's there, what will it do? Boil over. That's what happens, right? So I put water on the stove to boil, to make tea. I watch it. It never boils. I go away, forget about it. It's boiling over. That's what happens every time. Boiling water could be described as fervent water. If it's a liquid and it's boiling, that's fervent. Good? All right. Let me give you another one. We went camping. And we got smart finally, and we went when it was cool outside. And we had an awesome fire. And Brother Roger brought this thing to make coffee in, which was the best coffee I've ever had in my life. If you had a spoon and stuck it in it, it would have stood straight up in the middle. It was incredible. I mean, it was a little gritty, you know, but it was amazing. It was so good. I'm not kidding. It was great. But we had that sitting on this metal thing by the fire. Do you know what happens to the metal when it's in the fire for a while? It gets hot. That's right. You know how you find out? You touch it. No, you don't touch it. You can tell by looking because the metal will start to glow. When it's glowing, it's hot, and you don't want to touch it. If it's liquid and it's fervent, it's boiling. If it's solid and it's fervent, it's glowing. Amen. This is good stuff, people. Do you know what Apollos was? He was fervent in the Spirit. His spirit was boiling for the things of God. I mean, his soul was glowing in the way of the Lord. He had a heart to know the way of God and to let other people know the way of God. He was an eloquent man. Oh, that sounds so fancy. No, it means that he would stand up and whatever he learned about God, he was on fire to tell somebody else what he knew about God. And this good stuff, people, come on. This is awesome. What a testimony for somebody to be fervent in spirit. This man was on fire. And haven't you known people like this that are just passionate about things? Amen. I mean, you can talk to them about anything in the world. You find that one thing they're passionate about, and all of a sudden, they come to life. Amen. All right. Obviously, we haven't found that thing for some of you tonight. I'm going to keep trying. I talk to some people. You can talk to them about the weather, they don't care. Talk to them about sports, they don't care. Talk to them about hunting, they don't care. Talk to them about just about anything. I found this, though, if a person has grandchildren, that gets them passionate. My dad could fall asleep. If he was in here, he'd fall asleep in about 5 seconds because I'm up here talking. That's not true. I'm just teasing. But my dad, when he sits down, when he gets home, he could go to sleep like that. Right? That's just what good men do. But you start getting my dad to talk about his grandchildren, and he comes to life. And he's excited about it. He's passionate about it. I haven't met anybody since Abigail's been born that has met my dad that didn't already know that Abigail existed. People, I don't know who they are, but dad's talked to them. They know about my kids. I'm like, who are you? Because he's passionate about it. He's got a fervent spirit when it comes to his grandkids. And I'm just trying to say that how about all of us get a fervent spirit about the things of God? How about we? You know why he was mighty in the Scriptures? Because he had a fervent spirit. He was on fire to know God. You know why he was an eloquent man? He was an eloquent man because he was passionate and he was on fire. He was glowing red hot to tell somebody what he knew about God. That's the man we're talking about tonight. And the Bible says that Apollos had this spirit. And then it says, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. He was mighty in Scriptures and he was instructed in the way of the Lord. And so he took what he knew and passionately told it to other people. He taught them diligently. And I love that word diligently. You remember we studied it before. It's the same word as circumspectly. It means to be exact. It means to be precise. It means to be perfect. And when he taught people the word of God, when he spake of the things of God, and when he taught the things of God, he did it diligently. He did it perfectly, circumspectly. He was very, very careful to say what was right. Y'all can amen that because you wish I'd do that a little better, don't you? Because sometimes I say the wrong thing. You know why? Because I'm not being careful where I put my foot next. Because I'm not being careful about what I say next. But that wasn't Apollos. He was very careful, very precise about what he said about the things of God. Don't you think that's important? And I love the fact that he spake it and he taught it. When he spake it, that just means he talked. He uttered. When he talked to people, he talked to them about the way of the Lord. He talked to them about the things of the Lord. It ought to be that when we talk to anybody, we can't go but more than a few seconds without talking to them about the Lord. What's wrong with us that we can have a conversation with somebody and not even bring the Lord up? How much of a part of our life is he if we're not even talking to him about others? And we can talk about the weather, we can talk about the sports, we can talk about all these other things going on, our grandchildren. Nothing wrong with any of that, but there's something wrong if we're not talking about the Lord. You guys are giving me a lot of do-overs tonight. There's something wrong if we're not talking about the Lord. Not only did he speak, he taught. This Greek word for taught means to teach. That's it. Didasko, to teach. To teach. And you say, well, I don't know anything. You know what? Apollos didn't have all the answers, did he? He just knew that he didn't know any more than the baptism of John. But what he knew, he was passionate about teaching. You say, well, I don't know much. Well, do you know Jesus? Do you know repentance of faith in Christ? Do you know the way of salvation? You know more than Apollos did. And we can have a heart to tell other people. I want you to see when it comes to this idea of discipleship, you've got to have a ready student. You see, this is something that's been in my heart a long time for our church. I'm thankful there's some of you been in this church a long time. I'm thankful some of you have been here and you're faithful and you've been here, some of you longer than you'd like to admit. But how many of you have seen people come in, get saved, baptized, and go out the door? We've seen more of that than we've seen stay. Amen. That bothers me. Amen. I'm not okay with that. And so I try to figure out what is it? What does it take to get somebody to be a real disciple? What does it take to get them to stay? And there's books and there's videos and there's curriculum. There are pastors that have written stacks of books on how to do it and all this stuff. And they like, you know, how to close the back door and all the different things that they say. We got to get them in and keep them in and all the different stuff. I'm going to tell you one thing that it takes. It takes somebody who has a heart for the things of God. You see, it's impossible to disciple someone who has no interest in being discipled. It's impossible to bring someone to a faithful walk with Christ if they have no interest in walking with Christ. See, a lot of times and we're going to talk about our responsibility in a second, but I think it starts with the disciples' responsibility. They've got to have a heart to know God. He's got to be more than just a fire escape. There's got to be something in him that says, I want to know this God, and I want other people to know this God. If that's not there, then we can't get anywhere. And so we see this ready student, but then notice next in verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So Aquila and Priscilla are hanging out, and they're staying in Ephesus, and they're still doing the work there. They're still preaching the gospel in the synagogue. They're still working with those who are in the church, and all these things, they're involved. And when they go to synagogue one day, and they hear Apollos stand up, when they hear him, and they can see the passion that he has for the things of God, when they hear him, the Bible says they take him unto them. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. I want you to notice that they were willing teachers and they were willing to go out of their way to take Apollos unto themselves. That little phrase, took him unto them, is absolutely critical. You know what we've got to do as a church? When we have contact with somebody, we've got to give them the gospel first. But our goal is to bring them in, to make them a part of Calvary. They went out of their way to get him and to bring him to them. To make him be one with them, to bring him into their group, to make him a part. Can I just be real with you guys tonight? Some of you have no clue what I'm about to say. You're just oblivious to it, and I get that. A lot of people who come into this church that are new here don't feel like they're part of this church. Let me do a quick survey. How many of you are related to somebody in this church you're not sitting right next to? No, go ahead, put them up. Don't be ashamed of it. It's not a bad thing. Okay? See, please don't take this wrong. Some of you are getting upset already. I ain't even said anything yet. Let me finish, and then you could be upset. That we've got a lot of families in this church. And that's a great thing. If I had family in this town, I certainly would want them to come here. It's not a bad, it's a great thing. And it's one of the most effective ways for us to reach other people is to tell the people we know and see them saved and baptized and part of the church. But when you've got a family here and a family there and another family over here, when somebody comes in and they're not part of one of those families, they don't feel like they're a part. They don't feel like they're one of us. You see, hold on. Let me look around real quick just to make sure. I'm not related to any of you. Now, some of you I've been friends with as long as I can remember, and you feel like family, but you're not blood kin. Which, by the way, sometimes I'd rather have the other than the blood. May have to erase that part of this sermon case mom listens to it later. But Aquila and Priscilla, when they heard this man and saw how he understood the scripture and saw how he's passionate about the things of God, they went and got him and they saw the boldness that he had. They said, we need you to come over here. Let us teach you something. Let us show you something. But they took him unto. By the way, if you look in your Bible, this word's italicized in your King James Bible, right? Everybody look at it. Italics. It's italicized. We missed that on the screen. That means that the translators added it to help us understand, because that's what happened. They took him unto them. But it's understood. They took him unto. It just means that they took him unto. They brought him to themselves, but it's so cool to me that word's italicized, because it's already understood in the Greek. That just means they took him unto. And if you're going to go get somebody, you're bringing them to be with you. You're not excited about this, I can see, but I am, because I didn't get this for a long time. We went door to door to door, and we gave people gospel tracts, and we wanted to give them the gospel, and we'd go on our way and have a nice day, and I didn't get it. I thought we're just doing our good Christian service. Give them the gospel, go on your way. I was missing it. That's not the goal. The goal is to see them saved, yes, but that's not the end goal. We want to see them saved and baptized and serving Christ in the church with us. Amen. That's why they took him unto. They brought him with them. Because it wasn't just, here you go, don't go to hell, have a nice day. No, it was come and be one of us and serve Christ with us. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I was so, you know, and I look back on those years where I didn't get that, and I hate myself for it. How stupid. And you go, well, yeah, it's good. You were given the gospel. That's great. But that's just the very first step. That's not the end goal. You realize this? Let me help you out. Every person we meet out here, our goal is to see them part of this church. I used to tell people, we don't care where you go to church. I'd lie straight to their face. I care where they go to church. I think everybody in Muldrow ought to be a member of Calvary. Some of you are thinking about it. You know some people in town you're not so sure, but I do. I want everybody to be saved and baptized and serving Christ in Calvary. I don't want them to go somewhere else. Do you? And so their goal was, listen, they could have left him alone. He's got this boldness. He's excited. He's in the scriptures. He'll probably figure out the truth sooner or later. He's up there. Man, look at the boldness he has, talking about what he doesn't know these things, but we could just leave him alone. We'll just leave Apollos alone. Let him do his thing. He's part of the synagogue. He's not part of the church. We'll just leave him alone. They could have done that, but they didn't. It wasn't okay with him for him to not know the truth. And so when he comes in one day and has all this boldness and he doesn't have all the truth, they say, let us help you out. And so they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And I love it because he was instructed in the way of the Lord, but they expounded to him the way of the Lord more perfectly. And when he taught, remember he taught diligently? Well, this is the same word. It's just kind of an extra emphasized word. So he had it and he was teaching it diligently, but we're going to give it to you extra diligently. We're going to give you not just the perfect, but we're going to give you more perfect. Because you've got truth. But some things have happened you don't know about yet, Apollos. John came preaching that the Messiah was coming. But we're here to tell you that Messiah did come. And Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he died for our sins on the cross. And he rose again the third day. We saw him for 40 days and 40 nights. He was seen of the apostles and the others. And we are here to tell you that Christ has come. And they showed him more perfectly the truth about Jesus. And he already knew the scriptures. He was already mighty in the scriptures, instructed the way of the Lord. So when they started to show him, look at what Jesus did, and look at how that compares to the Bible, to the Old Testament scriptures, and he got it. By the way, you're never going to get it without the Bible. I mean, all through this text, it's scripture, the way of the Lord, instructed, expounding means to expose and declare. It all comes back to the Word of God. And so they teach him a more perfect way. But they were willing to invest in Apollos' life. We need some people here at Calvary that are willing to invest in other people's lives. How many of you think Sunday school is a good thing? All the Sunday school teachers raise their hand. Amen. Nervous there for a second. How many of you think that Wednesday night discipleship's a good thing? Get those kids back there learning right now. Some of them in here, bless their hearts. Too many teachers sick. See, I think those are good things, but I want to help you out. If you think that's enough to make disciples, you're wrong. See, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I believe this strongly enough. I'll just step out there. See, I think all of you who are in this church who have been here for any number of years and are faithful, and I don't just mean you show up. I mean you read your Bible, you're following Christ, you're trying to be a witness. I mean you're faithful, or at least striving to be. I believe that every one of you who are faithful today didn't just get that way from Sunday school, that you had someone who invested in your life outside of church services. I'll give you a second to ruminate. I was saved when I was 14 years old. I was one of those kids who thought I was saved, got baptized. I wasn't really saved. I really got saved when I was 14. I didn't get baptized till I was 17. I don't recommend you do it that way. I recommend you get saved, know for sure that you're saved, then you get baptized, and just do it like that. Amen. Thank you. But when I was 16, 17 years old, there were some men. Our pastor was Patrick Trusty. How many of y'all remember Brother Patrick? I never heard somebody ask somebody if they were saved before Patrick Trusty. I didn't know what visitation was until Patrick Trusty came to Landmark and Vian. And him and Steve were cousins, or are cousins. And Brother Steve started teaching the Sunday school class, and Patrick. But I spent an enormous amount of time with those men outside of church. And it had a huge impact on my life. Spending time with them outside of church. Yeah, I went to church, Sunday school, I was there, listened to the preaching. All those things were good and helpful. But there was something extra, something special that happened spending time with them outside of church. Now that I've put it out there, how many of you would say that's true? Somebody spent time with you outside of church, had an impact on your life. Go ahead and put them up so I can see them, please. Okay. I was wrong about some of you. So kudos to you. I'm not sure if I believe you, but I'm going to, because I think I'm always right. No. The vast majority of you who are striving to be faithful have had influence outside of church. And what I'm trying to say is we need some people who are willing to invest in people's lives outside of church. And I'm going to throw this out there because I'm busy too. If we're too busy to do that, then we're too busy. What happens when you start to really make disciples is the disciples start to multiply. Look at it. In verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia. Now, I want you to get this. There's a, we don't know. An unmeasured amount of time has happened. I don't think that one day in the synagogue, they pull him aside, expound to him more perfectly, and the next day he takes off. I think there's an indeterminate amount of time here in between. Maybe days, maybe weeks, maybe months. We don't know. You guys with me? But at some point, Apollos makes a determination. He's disposed to pass into Achaia. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Amen. So if we can put both those verses up here real quick, Brother Dave, 27 to 28. I want you to see this. When he gets a heart, the Bible says he was disposed. That means he was willing, his intention. Something in him said, I got to go somewhere else. He had a heart of a missionary. He wanted to go somewhere, help somebody else. And so he goes. Well, the brethren, so he's in the church now. He's in the church at Ephesus. He's not just at the synagogue. He's part of the church. And so somewhere in between this, he has become a member of the Baptist church at Ephesus. Okay? You guys with me? I don't know if it was Calvary Baptist, but it was Baptist. Somebody say amen for goodness sakes. I'm begging for amens tonight. Wake up. Okay, so they wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. So you're going to go, we're going to send you. So he's sent with a letter commending him to the other churches. You guys with me? There's a lot of details here if you don't get it. I mean, this is what we would do. If we wanted to send somebody to go help another church, we would say, this brother is a brother and he believes the truth and he's doctrinally sound and we want to send him to help you. You can trust him. He's a good man. He believes the truth. The church sent a recommendation saying, he's a good man and he believes the truth. And so they said, receive him. And when he got there, I love this, he helped them much. He helped them much. Why? Because he was mighty in Scripture and instructed more perfectly in the way of the Lord. And because he had a fervent spirit, because he had a heart for it and he had the tools to do the job, he was able to be a great help to them. And so he helped them much. Who? The people there who had believed through grace. Well, who's that? Well, that's saved people. But if you see it, you'll find out that he's dealing with Jews. So he's probably going to a synagogue, and he's trying to not just help the church, but he's helping other people there. And get this picture. These are people that he's helping that believe by grace. So saved people who were saved by grace. But how did he help them? Because he mightily convinced the Jews publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So there's believers in Achaia, and when they listen to him take the Bible and prove that Jesus is the Christ from the scriptures, they are helped by that. Their faith is strengthened by that. These are people who are already saved, but it helped them greatly to hear the word of God expounded, showing that Jesus from the Old Testament scriptures is indeed the very Christ. And so it wasn't just a help to the people, the Jews who didn't believe. It was a help to the believers. You know, good Bible preaching is good for all of us. Amen. Some of you have been here so long, you think you already know it all. I want to help you out. If you think you know it all, you know nothing. Amen. If you understand you know nothing, you're starting to really learn something. You need to ruminate on that one too, huh? Okay. Me too. I probably said it wrong. That's why you're looking at me funny, isn't it? What we need is to see this pattern where you had somebody with a ready heart and they wanted to know the truth, but they didn't get it. And so somebody who had the truth was willing to go out of their way to bring them in, to teach them a more perfect way to really understand the scriptures and equip them so now they can go and be a tremendous help to other people because they know the truth so much, not just the scriptures, but what the scriptures say about Jesus to the point that they can convince others of that truth. And what we don't know is what happened next. What impact Apollos had in Achaia. But rewind with me. What happens if Aquila and Priscilla never help Apollos learn the truth? What if they never bring him unto them? Well, he doesn't know, and he doesn't go. But you can rewind a little more if you want, because it didn't just start with Apollos, did it? Because who took Aquila and Priscilla there in the first place? Didn't they go with a man named Paul? Do you see it? And we can keep going back and keep going back and keep going back, and that's the way it works. Because the people who had an influence in my life had an influence in my life because someone else had an influence in their life. And they had an influence in their life because someone had an influence. Okay, I'll stop. What kind of impact are we going to have? What kind of impact are you going to have at work the rest of this week or at school? Because see, I don't want it to end with me. I don't want it to end with you. When I look in this congregation tonight, you know what I see? I see enormous potential. Now that sounds like one of those motivational speeches. I get it. I saw that guy on the radio or on the TV too, but that's not what I'm talking about. I see enormous potential because I see people who could get fired up in their spirit and who could become mighty in the scriptures and who could be used to build up other disciples who can go and make other disciples. That's what I see. I see opportunity. And I just pray that God will use all of us. Because my prayer to God is that the disciples will be multiplied at Calvary. Amen. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. And as our musicians come, would you please stand with us tonight? I want to ask you a question I ask myself a lot. Are you a disciple of Jesus? You see, the easy answer is, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm a disciple. But the reality is, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And if you study John 15, you'll find this requirement that real disciples make disciples who make disciples. So I ask the question again, are you a disciple of Jesus? And if like me in your heart tonight, hard to answer that with a yes, we need to get our hearts right with the Lord tonight. We're going to sing what number?
521.
Number 521 in your hymnal. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart tonight, I beg you to come.